Time to close it now. The podcast that's revolutionizing the HVAC and home improvement trades industries. Get ready to dive deep into the world of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're turning up the heat on industry standards and cooling down misconceptions. And we're not just talking about fixing vents and adjusting thermostats. It's about the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. We're the driving force inspiring top performers who crave excellence, not only in their professional endeavors, but also in fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all. This is Close It Now, where excellence meets excitement. Let's get to work. Now your host, Sam Wakefield.
Welcome back to Close It Now. Sam Wakefield here. I got my big radio voice on today. I am excited to have these guests. I haven't done as many interviews in a little bit for various reasons, but I started to get a lot more selective with who I have on the show and only bring value to you as the listener and this community because, and we're going to get into a little bit of this today, the more that I dive into working with companies, the more that I dive into working with organizations that, well, so many of us, we don't really know what we're looking at as far as results and what we should be looking for as benchmarks and those types of results when we're working with, for example, digital marketing companies or any other vendors in the trades here. And so what happens is, you know, for years I would have most people on. Let's just have a conversation and maybe we can bring some value. But what I found was, in fact, if you go back through my episodes, there's a few episodes that are listed that I had to pull down because either the core values of the person I had on the show completely destroyed their credibility. And so I took those down. And also there's been a couple guests in the past that the results were absolutely not there and they were only taking advantage of people when it came to recommending them. So I really pulled back on recommending companies or having them on the show to talk because my goal, and this is why I've never had a sponsor on the show. I was 7 years. I mean, I could have sponsors, but I don't because I want to have full control in who I bring into the show and who I recommend to the community because the goal is, of course, to only bring real value. So enter these guys. So today I'm really excited to actually have a solid conversation here because this is a couple gentlemen that I've known for a while. In fact, I want to start this way. So the hilarious thing, everybody that's listening, I'm in Central Texas, just north of Austin, and Kyle and Paul here with So Good Marketing, they happen to live literally within 10 minutes of my house. Stone's throw away, and we've tried to connect for a couple years, and I'll own it as much as they do. The priority wasn't there, so we ended up having to actually, we were both at the same event in Minneapolis where we got to meet for the first time in person. So we had to fly halfway across the dang country to meet in person, which was hilarious to us. And so, of course, now we have some lunches and things periodically. But I'm stoked to introduce these guys, even though that I tried for 2 years to get them on the show and they kept, yeah, we'll book and then never did. And so, but today is the day. So introducing these guys super quick. This is Kyle Sattler and Paul Olson. Say that correctly without my Houstonian slur. They co-own So Good. And you may have seen them, you may have not, but I'm really excited to introduce them to everybody today because they're doing something different in the space than really I've seen anyone else do. And we're going to talk about that. But before we do, guys, I want to know, so I was at a networking event earlier, and this was a fun question that came up. What is one thing that you've said to a client in the past that you immediately regretted? So I'm going to hit you with a hard one right off the bat.
Wow. I'm going to let Kyle take this question.
Sure. Why not? First, let me go ahead and say that Paul's the one who books most of the podcasts. So the fact that we hadn't been on here is really just purely his fault. I just want to be very clear about that. I would have been here in a heartbeat, Sam. I love you. I'm so glad to be here today.
Pushing him right under the bus.
Yeah. I mean, I'm driving the bus too. I mean, if we're doing it, we might as well do it all the way. I will say that for me, something that I've said to a customer and or a client and immediately regretted, probably somewhere in the lines, I'm the one who fires the clients. If we're being honest, I'm the one who goes, okay, we've had enough of dealing with you. And so I'm sure there's something in there. Now, I can't be specific because I don't live in a world of regret that often, but I'm sure there's somewhere in there that I said something that someone else heard and they're like, man, that's not the customer service I want to work with. So we'll just say one of the times I've fired a client in any of the companies that Paul and I have worked together in, which is now three, I'm sure there's somewhere that I probably should have just pulled back and be like, yeah, it's okay. You guys can take that and not been the guy who carries the big axe, so to speak. So I don't have a specific, but it's somewhere in there of firing a client. I guarantee it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I'll jump in here and I will fall on this grenade because this is definitely not on Kyle. Sam sent me the link probably at least three times. So we can't even really throw the rock at Sam here either. The saving grace behind all of this is getting an executive assistant, and I'll just plug her real fast. Jen is the one who actually made this happen, and best investment of all time. To answer the question, something I regretted immediately, this was early on in the SOGA days. I actually guaranteed a client that they would be happy with what we were doing, which was regretted probably within the first week, because I didn't realize when I said that these people were still mad at being born. And so there was no way they were going to be happy with us. And I don't want to say anybody's names, but everybody's dealt with that client that they just thought this is going to be so great. And then the client was just never going to be happy because they're mad at life. And so Kyle probably knows a handful of people that we would be talking about in this world that, you know, we didn't keep as clients very long. And, you know, we all have that and nobody's not going to have it. SOGA doesn't hide that, you know, we have people that come on and it's not a great fit, or they're not a great fit for us, or we're not a great fit for them. But I could tell you that the people that come in with a vision and with understanding of the future, they are rock solid, great customers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I hear that. Mine is, I'll add to this real quick. I was thinking about this question earlier. What I answered initially was what happened years and years and years ago in one of my first, you know, second or third year in sales. But I think for this podcast, and hopefully these people listen, there's owners of a company on the East Coast. I was in the South on the East Coast. I'm not going to say where, because people would be able to connect some dots, but I went out, I did an on-site training, and day one went pretty smooth. You know, we'd go out, do some ride-alongs, and it was by right around the beginning of day three, the client, so it's really interesting when I do ride-alongs, because I show up to whatever the company is doing, their culture. More importantly, when we do ride-alongs, it's like, what do I have to work with? And for the most part, you know, they tell me, like, Sam, you got to get out here. You know, the last 20 appointments that our people went on, they closed zero of them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's absurd. There's no way, right? So you guys need some help. And so I didn't set the right expectation that I'm not there to close business for you. I'm there to coach your people how to do better. And so by day three, when not a single appointment had closed, so I made some calls. I was talking to some of my peers, and I had a conversation with the owner. And I made the accident. I had forgotten that in the South, there's so many layers of emotional complexity, we'll say. And I made a comment around, well, being here in what's generally referred to as the poor South, and that was the moment everything went sideways. So while I have lots of success stories and cool turnarounds at companies, that one, they immediately canceled our 12-month engagement the day after I left the first four-day visit.
Wow. And
I was heartbroken because I wanted to help them. I didn't know. It took me 6 months to analyze every single word of every conversation I had with them to even, I bet that was the thing. And so, that was mine. I wish I could go back and get a redo, but I highly doubt that happens because they've ghosted me the last couple of years.
can't imagine.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, for everybody out there, yes, if you're looking at the nation, some people call it that. Don't call it that. It's not a good thing. We're here to help and support and be positive. So let's get into this a little bit because there's so much you guys do. Your history is long. Y'all have three different companies now. You've worked together. I want to set this up a little bit for everybody that's listening because there's a lot, especially in the space that you're in now. There's a lot of people that have come into, call it the digital marketing space or any type of company or industry that supports the contractors in the field. I would be willing to wager, actually, I'd throw money right down on my desk that a good 80% of them have never one time put a tool belt on or stepped foot in the field. And they, in theory, understand what's going on, but they truly don't understand the dynamics of what really happens in a contracting company, in a trades company. But this is not the case with you guys, because I know a bit of your history. So give everybody a quick highlight reel, because I want people to understand this is not a situation, and this is the reason you're on the show. This is not a situation where people that can't do teach or train or start a company like this. This company actually grew out of your own need for something better. And then it basically turned to a point where it grew so fast. You're like, hey, this could be its own business. So I'd love for y'all to you know, whoever wants to take this or tag team it, give everybody a quick highlight reel of what happened before So Good and why So Good even started and this the quick little evolution of it to today.
Paul's the guy who was in the field, yeah. So I'll let him take that one.
Yeah, I'll jump in here and go into the one, how Kyle got roped into this whole world. Because the reality is I was kind of born into the trades. My dad's a plumber. Both my grandfathers ran construction companies of different types. I mean, I was cutting and threading black iron when I was like, I think 11 years old, and then soldering by the time I was 12. So there's a big, you know, I was a plumber before I was, you know, even out of school, so to speak. And when I got my first real job as a plumber, 2001, and I started actually pump truck driver, pumping septics to get into the trade because it was tough back then. And then moved into apprentice, moved into plumber, did plumbing sales, plumbing supervision, service manager, and then safety manager, operations manager, all the way up to CEO of our last company where Kyle and I were running that, which is actually where So Good was born. But to take a step back before I get too far into that, I was the general manager of a company in South Austin, and I needed some help in process building to put the blocks together to really get the company to the next level. Kyle took a wild hair, crazy as it was, and he took a pay cut about 55-60% of his salary to come work for me. To build something better for not just himself, but for other people. And it was pretty quick after he came on that when we actually started to build and the company started to scale really quickly, that the primary owner got very scared of the numbers getting larger. It was kind of like, well, I don't want to have this many trucks. I don't want to have this many employees. And we're like, you can't do $20 million in revenue with, you know, six trucks on the road. Right. I mean, the calls are coming in, the guys are getting sales training, the numbers are lining up, everything is going in the right direction. And she was like, hey, we got to pull back. And it was like, for me, I was like, if we're going to stop doing it this way, then I've got to exit stage right, because the company's going to go where I'm driving it, or I have to bail, because I'm not going to ride somebody else's train at that point. We had already done too much. And so it was decided that, you know, between her and I, that I would exit. I have no hard feelings there. And we were going to start our own business. a plumbing company, which is actually where the name So Good was born, was I actually threw it out to Kyle that we should do So Good Plumbing because everything that Paul and Kyle do, which is the S is Sattler, the O is Olson, so good. Everything we do is good. It's going to be awesome. And Kyle was like, that is the dumbest name I heard in my life. We're never going to have a company called So Good Anything. And here we are.
That's my business partner I have now. Something I heard from him a while back. He says, if your business partner always agrees with you, you don't need a partner.
Correct. There is 100% that Kyle and I will stand on different sides of a topic. And then we will often get convinced by the other person of like, well, this isn't actually a bad idea. I had time. I had to digest. I had to think about it. But that got parked. We went to work at a company out of Round Rock. We bought into the company, took over as CEO and COO after 6 months. That was supposed to be a 2-year run before that happened. And then the company, it kind of exploded in 2024. We grew the company 55%. We got our marketing spend down to 2.8%. We got our fuel spend down to 0.97%. So not even 1% for fuel consumption. When we were talking on podcasts like this and meeting with other business owners within the network groups that we were in,
For everybody's clarity in the community listening, this is was HVAC and plumbing company, correct?
Yep. Out of Round Rock, which is just north of Austin, and we did a lot of work in Austin. It's basically part of Austin.
Yeah. So everybody has context of what type of company you're talking about here.
Yeah. HVAC plumbing, high populous, very competitive area, PE firms buying up everybody every which way but Sunday, right? And Sam, again, is here. He knows that very well in the market. A lot of the companies we both had worked for in the past have been bought, sold multiple times. And we were scaling quickly, doing really well, and people started to ask us about what we were doing, and we were just free with knowledge and trying to help people. And Kyle, I think it's more Kyle's idea than mine, but he was like, we should really do a podcast because it would be a lot of fun. The So Good name came back, and we were like, hey, we'll do So Good. It'll be a lot of fun. And I'm going to let Kyle take it from here because this is kind of where it does get fun. We went to Pantheon. And we were interviewing people. You want to go, Kyle?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, we were like, okay, let's go to Pantheon. We were part of Service Titan. So we were already on our way there. It made sense for us to be there. So we just took a few hours to talk to people and interview them to build content, right? We're starting a podcast. We want to build content to try to get it off the ground without us having a format in any way, shape, or form. And by the time we left Pantheon in that 2 days, we had 5 people saying, we just want to pay you to do this. So we had 5 clients and 0 business. We had no LLC file, no documentation, no bank account, no nothing. And we had these people who wanted to pay us. So we came back and quickly filed all of those documents, put the podcast on the shelf, said, hey, we'll come back to that at some point, and then kind of launched into it. Fast forward, I guess, about 6 months, and then March of 2025, I believe that, 2025. We actually said, okay, hey, this is going to be where we need to be. And so we left the company that we still have partial ownership in, the HVAC and plumbing company. And we started running So Good full time, the two of us. And then a month later, Kayla, our third partner, she joined in full time as well. And we've been going ever since. And one of the reasons for that is because our entire goal that we were trying to hit in 2025 was hit by March as far as clients came in. This was supposed to be a side gig for us, just something, hey, we were going to do, eventually get back to doing the podcast, things like that. But ultimately, it became, hey, this is the So Good guys, and the So Good guys have a So Good product, and the So Good product is going to help a lot of companies. And so then we continued on from there.
I love it. So let's dive into this this product itself a little bit, because and for everybody listening, pay attention to what these guys, the way I want you all to listen through a couple different lenses. One is listen to what we're talking about, but I want you to also listen to the way that Paul and Kyle think about things, because one of the things that has impressed me so much along the way is how they assess the industry, how they look at it, how they analyze it, and then go to work on the thought process and the pieces to fill the gaps and find the friction points in the holes and solve that problem. So be thinking about that type of thought as you're listening and apply that to your own businesses, because it's an exercise that a lot of people get so stuck in their business that they never take a step back and actually put this type of thought into exactly what they're doing and what problems they're really trying to solve. And so, so that's what I appreciate about you guys, is the way that you approach things. So I love that you were talking about it. Your whole goal for the year was met by March. Let's talk about So Good as what it is you guys actually do. And because I know some of your backstory, because we've talked about it. Where did this come from, and what problem were you trying to solve when the actual So Good business product came? And realistically, what the heck is it? Because,
sure,
you know, people hear digital marketing, they check out. But everybody that's listening, you hear that word, don't check out, because this is very different than just a company that, hey, builds websites and runs your SEO. This is not that.
It is quite different. Yeah. So in our previous company, we, as Paul mentioned, PE firms, we could not afford to play a pay-per-click game, right? We were a small company. We just could not afford to throw that money away. We were trying to take this company to have its first profitable year. Paul talked about we grew 55%. We also did that while becoming profitable for the first time in this company's history. And so that was a key element, is we had to find a way. And so I had been working on basically a GBB process for almost a decade that I've worked.
Real quick, in this conversation, anytime you use an acronym,
Google Business Profile. Thank you. Google Business Profile, which almost every home service company has, although according to statistics, 56% of them don't actively use them. Anyway, and so I was like, this is where a lot of traction can come from when it comes from a lead source. And so I went to Paul, I kind of talked him into, hey, this is what our Google Business Profile could do. This is how we should use it and operate it. And he was like, hey, let's implement it, because we can't afford not to. So we did that. And that was the original So Good product. We launched it with our company. We grew. That's what we talked about. Now, fast forward, we hit
your own driver to both grow. Correct. Also, the overall top line of the company, which is important, but more important, that's a vanity number if nothing's making it through to the bottom line. So I think the piece that's important here is, because you're not competing with these companies with bottomless pits as far as their bank account, it's unaffordable for so many companies to be able to just throw money against the wall for Google and hope it sticks. So you had to figure out a way to do it more efficiently at lower cost, which also clearly is why revenue and profits went to the bottom, that your first year being profitable. I feel like that's I want to make sure to connect the dots there for this conversation.
I love it. And so, that was our big thing, is we were able to do that. And for our Google Business Profile software that ended up basically, we put everything into a software. We were able to sell it really on the cheap. None of our services were over $1,000 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was conflict that came up, as all great stories have. In May of 2025, a few months after we hit our company goal for the year, Google made a huge, massive shift, and they launched their AI mode. And they moved a ton of Google Business Profile information into AI mode. And when they did that, we lost a lot of analytics. We lost a lot of scores. We had a lot of clients that saw this and went, hey, all my stuff's dropping. And the reality is, it wasn't dropping. It just wasn't being reported anymore, because they didn't have a way to report into the AI systems. Not really. And even today, there's not much in there. But for me, I said, hey, we've got a lot of clients. Let's see where their traffic's gone, from where it's gone, how we can influence that. And so within a few months, we were able to track down, okay, it has fully pretty much gone into these AI overviews, this AI mode that Google has launched. Now, what influences that? And I ended up writing a course that we were delivering at a convention, or a workshop, excuse me, at a workshop, of this is how you rank in AI mode. I showed it to Paul. He read it and he goes, buddy, I love you, but there's not going to be too many contractors who are going to be able to do this. One, because they don't have the time, and two, because the skill set's a little bit more than what what most contractors are going to have, because it was fairly technical. And he goes, but we need to sell it. So we rolled out, I think I went and sat down for about 3 days and rolled it into a process that then became something we were selling. And then I gave it back to Paul for Paul to figure out how we price it, how we do everything else as I continue to build it. So I'll now pass this back to Paul and let him continue with the story here, because ultimately what we do is affect AI and do it in a different way, because we know that, the channels are not what everybody seems to think they are from a digital marketing standpoint. Mm-hmm. So now Paul can get on his soapbox and talk about that if you're okay with
it. Oh, I love it. I love it. And as we do, and so some controversy here, because I'm in, like most of you that are listening, if you've ever for a half second stepped foot in any of the Facebook forums, right, the Facebook groups, there's a whole, there's a load of specifically a handful of digital marketers out there that have basically sided themselves on two sides of a fence. One side is AI is taking over everything and you have to make the move now or you're going to get left behind, which to a degree is true, right? That we can all agree that there's a massive amount of AI and there wasn't. The other side of the fence is guys saying, oh my gosh, this is only scare tactics and nothing has changed and it's never going to do that, and or at least not for years and years and years, which I think to a degree is true. And on both sides, I see it from, they're both right and wrong at the same time. So with that context of that bit of controversy going on, and now that we're entering the AI conversation, where do you fit and where do y'all, before we get into a little more about So Good and specifically what it does, Where do you vision cast this going? Where's this conversation landing when it comes to the way it sits with you in y'all's lap?
Yeah, I will jump on this and I'm just going to kind of summarize what you stated there, which is scare tactics versus reality, right? And then reality today versus what's coming tomorrow. So scare tactics versus reality. Well, let's talk about reality. The SEO guys that really say that nothing is changing and it's all the same. If it is all the same, they're not wrong. SEO has been trending down on impressions and its effectiveness over the last close to four years. I mean, soon it'll be five, right? So like it's been trending down and it continues to trend down on effectiveness. So yes, it's the same. If we're talking about by percentage of effectiveness, it continues to trend down. So reality says SEO is not as good as it was 5 years ago. And you're still spending the same money or more money on it for less impressions, less effectiveness. So that is reality, right? So scare tactics. Oh, SEO, AEO is taking over, AI is taking over, and SEO is dead. Well, SEO is not dead. It's trending down. It is going down. So you do need to realize that if you continue to spend $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 a month on SEO, your money is eventually going to go into the ground and be worthless because you're spending it on something that is trending down. So we do need to start shifting that spend onto something that's going up. AI search is climbing, which means that we should start shifting some of our spend into the future. Does that mean we sell our entire present on a future that's not here? Absolutely not. SoGood does not say that you shouldn't do anything SEO related ever. You don't need a website. And that's not what we tell people. But I will tell you that if you're on a very limited spend and that whole limited spend is getting sunk into SEO, it's being spent in the wrong place. And I would never say, give me all your money either. It's just the reality is don't spend it on a foundation that's sinking into the ground. Spend it on the things that are coming up or spend it on the things that make the phone ring right now. PPC makes the phone ring right now. Put your money there. Build a client base, something to build market later, right? So we will often tell people, man, if you only have $1,000 a month or $1,800 a month, we'll often say you should probably get that spent in more pay-per-click type stuff just to drive your revenue up so you have more to spend. So we could talk about monthly reoccurring things that build long-term brands. Scare tactic, SEO is completely dead. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Reality is SEO is dying slowly and it eventually probably will go all the way down. How far that is, I can't tell you, right? So we don't tell people don't do any. We just say, let's limit the spend.
Sure. Diversify.
The reality is,
basically.
Yeah. And then the future, what does the future hold? Well, Google has been showing us over since May with Google's AI overview, right? AI mode. It is becoming more and more prevalent every day on search. You see it more often. It's actually no longer showing you all this stuff anymore. Now it's just cutting off. It's giving you its answer and it's cutting it off. Google is showing us the future of search. That's literally coming. Google does not spend the kind of money they spent and the kind of money they continue to spend to build this out and keep investing in it for it to sit on the shelf. Google's leaning in. AI search is going to take over, and it's taking over Google. So when we talk about, ChatGPT and the LLMs only having a small piece of local business search, that's correct. The biggest piece is Google. But if Google's shifting to AI search, you do need to get on that train somewhere, because the reality is you will get left behind. Mm-hmm. That's not me saying all your money gets poured into that bowl and all the money gets left out of SEO. That's not how it works. Now, Kyle might want to deep dive into this. Before I transfer back to you guys, I do want to shift back into what Kyle was saying, because this is important for your business owners that are listening to this. If you are a sole proprietor business owner, let's say you got 100 trucks or one truck, it doesn't make any difference. You need to have a think tank system within your business. Everything that we've built between when we were at the first company in South Austin into the company in Round Rock and into So Good, we have a literal daily think tank conversations. Mm-hmm. Kyle and I will literally go on a walk around the neighborhood where we're office out of a house in Georgetown. And we'll walk around the neighborhood and we will just kick crazy, outlandish ideas back and forth to each other that are just not even humanly possible to do. But we are throwing these things at the wall to see what sticks and see what sounds good all the time. Our relationship is literally based on being a think tank almost all the time. One of us is always blurting out something crazy, new, whatever, and the other one is going, wow, that's kind of crazy, and I don't know if that's doable. Usually I'm the one with the craziest ideas, but we're in the marketing world where Kyle actually likes to swim in the crazy too. If you don't have a person or persons within your business that you could just have wild, meme-like conversations on your business to get to these get to the ability to develop the next step, forecast what's coming, see those things, you're going to fall behind at some point. Mm-hmm. Because what works so well with Kyle, myself, and Kayla is not one of us walked on water to get to work, but we all rely on the other one to fill in the gaps that we have, because mm-hmm. none of us are perfect. Mm-hmm. But we do that by often sharing ideas, being vulnerable, and taking that laughter sometimes, or that's crazy, or also then going, like when Kyle says, hey, we should teach this class, and me going, why aren't we selling this product? He had a great idea, but his delivery of the idea wasn't great for So Good or for the industry. But then I'm going, hey, we can make this great for the industry and great for us at the same time.
Make it a done for you instead of here's how to do it and nobody executes, right?
Yeah. I do want to say we did teach that class on how to do it twice. Mm-hmm. And we got a couple of customers that came and said, can we hire you? And we didn't even have the system built for us to do it yet.
We have a pattern if you haven't noticed.
I love it. Yeah. You know, and it's okay. I think this is where innovation happens. For everybody listening to, I cannot agree more with what you were just saying, Paul, about this think tank mentality, because there's an expression I heard years and years and years and years ago in my first business I was in with my partner, and he said, and he actually had gone to an ACCA conference, and he came back and he said, one of the biggest takeaways was, if you don't embrace change, you better get used to extinction. And and this is way before, I mean, there was a book that came out years before smartphones called The Third Screen, even, and that had just come out. And so when people were talking about what is pull you forward marketing, so I'm using some high level terms here, but this is the concept is everything, because this is why I innovate so much as well, is it for everybody. Listen, if you ever have this thought in your head, or somebody says to you, well, this is the way we've always done it, that is your immediate red flag to analyze the process and evaluate it and figure out, is this still the right way to do it? So I love this piece of the conversation because it's everything in keeping a business fresh, moving forward, continuing to grow, increase revenue, all those things. So pick up from there. Take us into let's turn the corner a little bit, because at this point everybody's like, "What the heck is so good? What is it that you actually do?" If you don't, we've lightly talked about Google search and SEO and AIO and AI search, but how do you go to bat with this? What is it?
Yeah, so I guess I'll take this one. Ultimately. Yeah, we affect AI search, and we don't say SEO because we're not SEO people. We don't build websites. So what do we actually do? Well, I talked about us having clients and following the data, and the data said that over 65% of results that were in Google's AI search, I want to be very specific, were actually coming from YouTube and Reddit. And so that was a big deal for us to see. One, because for me, I never wanted to touch a website again. I had a marketing company for over a decade and that worked with other people besides just home services. And I never wanted to build another website because I'd done it. And I was like, I'm done with that. And so I was like, okay, YouTube and Reddit, cool. And then I continued looking and I was like, well, all right, so 20 to 35%, give or take, are coming from blogs. And usually ones that had been built and had, you know, decent on SEO, and then about 5% were just coming from FAQs, which that's the part, if we're being honest, that really, I'll say pissed me off. I don't know if I can say pissed, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not a real swear word.
It's the part that pissed, podcast. Yeah. You can say, I've had some people on that, I had to put the little E on the episode. So say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, that's about as far as I'll go anyway. But it pissed me off. And the reason why is because I knew what the marketing trends were at right now is that all marketing companies of the sun were saying, hey, really got to stick with SEO. We really got to keep working on your website, better website. You're going to need to spend another $15,000 because Google's made an update here. And so we really just need to rebuild the whole website. And the biggest change they were making was they were adding FAQs. And FAQs are great. They're great for validation. But they actually get about the same credibility as your Google Business Profile when it comes to AI validation. And so I'm looking at it going, well, the biggest chunk we're hitting or that should be getting hit is YouTube and Reddit. Nobody does Reddit. Everybody from a marketing company standpoint is terrified of it. And I understand why. It's the Wild West. There's so many different things you can find on Reddit and things you don't want to find on Reddit.
Yeah, it's like internet in 1996. If you type in chair.com, you have no idea what you're going to find.
Yeah. And then the other part is YouTube. And the reality for that is it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot to build that out. You got to have scripting. You got to create the videos. You got to, pop out all this content. And these companies are trying to run a business. They don't have time to be content machines. And the reality is we didn't have time to be content machines for them. But I wanted to find a process that could facilitate that. And, we do live in an AI world. And so what we started doing was actually making AI videos. And we built out these short, they're 45 to 90 seconds. They answer a question. We have a tool that actually pulls questions being asked in our client's area. We pull about 400, narrow that down to about 200 relevant questions. And what we end up doing is we build a YouTube video for it. We post on FAQ, we post a blog, and they're all synced together. They're very synergistic. They answer the same question. They're posted in the same week. If you have a package that has Reddit, which is specific because, again, nobody wants to do it because it is terrifying. It's hard work to get into the Reddit and build that system out.
Well, it's all manual. There's no automations allowed with Reddit. Yeah. You have to be a human being pushing buttons.
Correct. And so we do have that as a specific package or an add-on that you can add to any package. But we do the same thing there as we do a question and an answer. We have a certain way that we do it that doesn't get you flagged, doesn't get you banned, doesn't get you kicked off. And that's our big thing is we build YouTube videos. They're short. They're a little cheeky. They're not perfect. They're made for AI to read, really, not even watch, because we're reading the transcriptions. We spend more time on the SRT, the transcription of it. I did it. I don't know if you noticed that, Sam. I specified. We spend more time on the transcription and the subtitles than we spend on the actual video itself. And that's because that's the part AI cares about. And at the end of the day, AI is meant to act like a human, but what it's trying to do is be a 15-year-old chemistry student that's listening to this information or reading this information and regurgitating it the next day on a test. It is not trying to be the biggest and baddest. It's not trying to have everything perfectly. It's going to go, what's the biggest commonly accepted answer? And so for us, we work on building those things out and you being the expert in your area for those questions. And we've had some great success from some of our clients to the point where, and I won't list any names, but we've actually had marketing companies come to us who are running their analytics going, how did you get this blog this much traffic in this amount of time? And it's like, well, because it's, again, it's all linked together. We're not creating one piece of content. We're creating 3 to 4 pieces of content and putting them all together. So we're getting the traffic and we're making this customer the content expert, or excuse me, the concept expert in their area for their industry. And it's different because we don't do a lot on websites. We do FAQs, we do blogs. That is it. If you need someone to build you a website, we're not that company. Please go find someone else to do that first, then come to us.
Yeah, we can all refer you to some good people that are not going to take advantage of you. I love the every bit of this. And the reason that I like that, I've talked about this book a lot recently, as soon as I read it, is They Ask, You Answer by Marcus Sheridan is, in my mind, where a lot of this type of where when that came out, it really changed the way people think about this process, because so many times people are scared to actually answer the tough questions their clients ask them, especially in a public forum, because we're scared of, well what are they going to say? Are they going to leave bad reviews? They're scared of the reviews. They're scared of having to say, you know what, that company across town is better at this one thing than we are, and, or we're going to drive traffic away. And so I love this because it turns you and your company into the local authority, even if that means the answer is not directly related to something you, it's a different type of marketing, right? People want to know the answer. And when they can get the answer from you, then now the know, like, trust factor starts to go up. I said to interject that because it totally makes sense with this whole concept and the way that people search, the way internet works, every bit of it. And it's more speaking to what I like the most about it is speaking to the human in that component, because people aren't searching for, usually it catches people much further up the funnel is what it's doing, in my mind anyway, which is I love, because my brain lives in the guerrilla marketing land. It's like, how do we meet people where they are before they raise their hand and say, I have an emergency? So when they do have that emergency, they go, hey, let's get a hold of these guys because I've already learned something from them.
Yeah.
Was that a good summation? Is that makes sense?
No, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to say that I do think that the thing that a lot of business owners should know, and a lot of SEO companies, if you're listening, if you've got people that are, you know, people you've worked with or referred with or even interviewed before, the one thing that I will say that for us, we don't build websites. We don't do SEO. We do believe you still need some SEO. You definitely need a website. That's stuff that we don't do, and that we definitely want you to have that with somebody else. We're like gasoline on that fire. When you have a good SEO company and you have a good website, and then we come in to that, that's where we drive lots of traffic, and we run alongside some of the biggest names in the home services space when it comes to that, doing what we do specific. We come in, we don't take over anything, we don't own anything. We get in, we do the work. If it decide at some point you're like, hey, this isn't a good fit, and we exit, everything we've done for you is yours. We walk away, it's yours. But those SEO companies, if you're listening, you're like, I don't know, these guys sound like they're competitors, or they sound like they're going to undercut us. The best thing that could ever happen to your website is if we run alongside you on it. And that doesn't sound, I don't let this sound like cocky. It's real. Like, if you're good at what you do, what we're going to do is going to be, it's going to be that much better. And it's going to do things that you have never seen for the business owner nor for the SEO companies. It's really good stuff. I'm going to say it's so good, but it's kind of, you know, cliche. But you also mentioned something earlier, and I'm going to sidebar for a second. You mentioned 100%. If you haven't met these guys or seen these guys, if you have not met us or seen us, you have not been to a show. you've not been to an expo in the last 2 years. You haven't been anywhere because I'm telling you, I mean, my wife will attest to this. I haven't been home in like, you know, I leave on Tuesday to go to a show. I come home for 24 hours and then I fly back out to go to another show. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are on the road all the time, which is actually what made this podcast so difficult to put together. Because if I'm not on the road, Kyle's on the road, and or we're both together. And so for those business owners that haven't got a chance to meet us in person, come to an expo somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's talk in person.
These guys are everywhere. I agree. In fact, for everybody listening, there is a real good chance coming up in this next 12, 18 months that you'll probably run into both me and them at a show because my big mission for everybody listening, all of you, if you know people that are running shows, recommend me as a speaker. If you are going to a show, send that show to me, whatever it is, if it's a convention, if it's a trade show, whatever, an expo, I will need to know what shows are out there because I want to get to them because there's so much that we can, there's so many people that I have this heart to help and I finally have the things in place to really be able to do it at scale. So find us at the events because these guys are at so many of them and I'm going to be at a bunch. So let's keep this going because this is really a great conversation. I think people need to understand this concept because it's not enough just to hire a company to, hey, here's some SEO, run my website and cross their fingers and hope for the best anymore. That's a losing play in 2026. So when companies are looking at their digital, looking at their ad spend, looking at their marketing budget, all of that, Where does this come in? Because I know that we've had conversations around some companies aren't a good fit, and that's okay. But where is this a good piece for companies? What do they need to have in place first so this optimizes and doesn't become a detriment to them?
Yeah, this is a great question. And this is where, you know, when I will tell you we have a walking think tank. We are a traction-based company. We do our VTO, which I don't know if you know what that means, but that vision, Kyle's the guy. But
Vision Traction Organizer.
Traction Organization. Yeah, sorry. Vision Traction Organization. But we nail down what our ideal customer profile is, ICP. And we really hone in on, our primary goal is to help companies that are $3 million plus a year in revenue, because what we see as a value to that customer is a percentage of their spend. They're going to spend some money on SEO and having a website. We're going to come in and do the AEO piece, which is based on a couple of places we work on your website that drives traffic to the site that comes from the offsite channels like YouTube and Reddit and your Google Business Profile. We're going to manage that because we're also going to be driving traffic from that back through your website as well. So, and we drive calls direct from there. So, that's where we live in, right? We live in that world. Now, if you're a $2 million shop and you've got it honed in, you've got a budget and you're living 12% of your spend, we can fit in that bucket. We can. But most businesses that run sub 3 million are still kind of in a growth phase where they don't have full budgets. They don't have the exact numbers they're spending on this, that, or the other. And that's okay. It's definitely fine. If you are dialed in and you're like, hey, I'm doing 2 million and I want to talk, even if you're doing 1 million and you're willing to, and you're spending more like 15% of your revenue, we can fit in that bucket. When we talk to companies that are sub 2 mil, sub 3 mil, and they don't have a budget and they just don't know exactly what they're spending, for us, it becomes, we need to make sure you're getting your dollar cost return. Because Kyle and I, we both have had this conversation, and I'll say it for me, I won't speak for him, but if So Good were to go and say, you know what, we're not helping customers enough, they're not getting their money back, they're not getting a return on what we're doing, we can go right back to running a home service company and make plenty of money. We were doing well at it before, we'll do it again. It's just, I'm going to be honest, doing this and being able to reach more people, for me, what I get, my personal growth, my personal, like, my why, mm-hmm. is how many people in the trades can I help? If I have my own company and I run 100 trucks, I'm helping 100 technicians plus the office plus the staff, 150, 160 people. If I'm doing this and I'm working with 100 companies, 500 companies, then I'm now touching tens of thousands of home service people. Mm-hmm. And my why is seeing the industry move forward. So I want to be here, just like you, Sam. You have a big vision. You want to see the industries move forward in advance on how they talk to people and how they handle sales and grow an actual sales culture based on like good sales mm-hmm. and real like data-driven and understanding of people and not, you know, not trying to take advantage of anybody and not, you know, not living in scare tactic sales, but like real information delivery, mm-hmm. real educational that people can now connect with. That's who I am in that same vein. And Kyle's in the same way. Like this is, we're delivering something that drives us more, which is why we like this. But if it doesn't help move the industry forward, I'm out. I mean, I will be out 150%, and I don't see Kyle wanting to do it either. It's still hard work, guys. There's nothing easy. We talked about the difficulty of Reddit, but there's nothing easy about this, but it does deliver on my why.
Yeah, I hear you so deeply on this. So one thing that this podcast is known for, and I think you guys know this, is every episode, I always like to make sure that there's something, some sort of instantly implementable takeaway that people can and leave with one listen and go, I can try that in my business. So what I'd like you to do is speak to those under $3 million shops. And what is one or two things that they could take a look at that they can change, implement, do something to start this process? They might not be ready for So Good yet, but what is something that they can do or things that maybe they should be looking at that they're not right now that they need to know to make sure things are in alignment and start moving their needle to move forward?
I have to make it two, because it's very important that we hit these two. First, make sure where you're branded on these multiple channels is accurate to your company name. So don't have like, if you have a YouTube channel, if you don't, create one. But if you have one, make sure it's your company name and not John's whatever. That's, you know, your name. It needs to be your company name. Two, the biggest mover in the AI space, if we're focused on the AI space, is YouTube. 100% across the board is YouTube. So make videos on YouTube. Take 5 minutes. Think of a question that your customers would ask you about your industry, not about you specifically, but about your industry. If you're water heater, you know, why, I don't know. This is a terrible one for me to do. I don't know why I did this. Why I put my hip pigeonholed myself in here. Why the water heater thermostat needs to be set at a certain temp, whatever that is. Again, you guys are more experts than I am. Why that needs to be the case, and then answer that question on the video, post the video. It doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't need to be great. Literally, you can hold a phone, answer the question, put it out there, and then you've got content going that is going to effectively put you into the AI systems just from doing that. Is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to hit all of the check marks? No. Are we going to beat you if somebody hires us? Yes. But it's something for you to do to get into those systems that you're not in right now. Because if you're just focused on your website, and again, there's nothing against SEO, there's nothing against website companies, but if you're just focused on your website, you're trusting the weakest source that AI gives you, because it knows you can write whatever you want and nobody can say anything different. On YouTube, on Reddit, these bigger channels that it pulls from, if you say something wrong, 1,000 people are going to tell you it's wrong. They're going to call you a moron and tell you it's wrong. You don't get away with that stuff. So post the right information. Take a few minutes every week to post that. Do it before you go to bed. Make your wife record you. Whatever it looks like, take some time, get it onto a YouTube channel. Make sure that you're posting there. That would be my piece of advice of, hey, this is the takeaway. If you can't have So Good work, or if you can't work with So Good for whatever reason, that's your biggest thing you could do.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Yeah, that is super powerful. I concur with that. I've gotten so much over the years, so much traffic from exactly that. You know, way before I had the podcast, I would do, you know, when Facebook Live started, I would just be on site back in when I was in the field of air conditioning and literally stand in the front yard, go, hey guys, let me just tell you what we're doing today. Behind me, I've got my crew doing this. Here was the problem they had. I'm thinking one specific example. It was a three-story basement and two stories above that. here's the problem they had. Every room in the house was a very different temperature. They had one thermostat and nobody was happy in the house because it was always wrong. So what we're doing today is we installed a system that they now have control of every single floor a different temperature, and it's able to do that and hold it accurately. So now everybody's going to be happy. And that's as much info as I gave. So everybody listening, don't overcomplicate it. But with that happening, that then just consistent. I mean, I used to have at least a client a month after I started this process that I, every single time I posted a video, people would go, I would see the heart start. So like that first video it hit. And then through my library, this is before they started axing all the live videos, but they would, I would see these hearts appear. And I was like, what? I told my friend standing next to me one time, I said, watch, they're going to reach out and ask if I can come look at their house. And every single time it did. And so it's just a small example of how effective this is, because for everybody listening, I agree with Kyle, you don't have to be perfect. And don't get lost in the vanity of, oh, I don't like how I look on the screen or how I sound. Well, that's how you look and sound. So get over your ego. Every time you step in front of a person, it's the same. That's what they see and hear. So don't change it. It's okay. It's you or you. It's fine. Just, and you can stumble over your words. I do it all the time in my podcast. It's like, who cares? But what the point is trying to come across is just do it and take action. And imperfect action is better than a perfect inaction every single day of the week. So that's my two cents on that.
100%. I'd love be you, be real. On my Facebook and Instagram, if anybody there follows me, sees me, they're just going to see, I'll shoot a selfie. I shoot a picture with somebody. I post pretty much every photo I take. When I take one to post, I don't take 17 photos. And is this angle right? It's not how I operate. You're going to get the real me every time. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about being, if you're stumbling or if you're fumbling a little bit, that's okay. People like authenticity. That's going to make it more authentic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give mine, which honestly, Kyle helped me identify again with the think tank together. I had this system when I was a technician, the things that I had to check on every home that I knew that 70% of the houses I would go to would have at least one of these, if not two or three of these issues. So I would have items that I could present to the client. If I couldn't do a whole plumbing inspection or a whole AC check, I was at least checking these 5 to 6, 7 items. Mm-hmm. We put that down in a process for our company. And we called it the never misses. And we had 7 never misses on plumbing and 7 never misses on HVAC. And the way we monitored that with our technicians is they had to show pictures of those never misses. So didn't matter if you got to check the whole system. It didn't matter if you got to check the whole thing. You always at least check these things. And if you're a sub $3 million shop, whether you're a one guy in a truck or if you're running 5 trucks, 6 trucks and you're trying to get there and you're having trouble with consistency out of, you know, revenue out of your vehicles, you got guys that kill it and guys that don't. Most likely the guys that don't know that there are these items that are just always, I mean, almost always bad. Unless the house is brand new, this is going to be bad. Austin, Texas, we know the water's hard. We know that we get calcium buildup. We know that it's also acidic as heck and it eats up rubber gaskets and things like that. So we know that if I check the gaskets for the toilet bolts, right, or the flush valve, that most likely, if I reach down in that tank and I touch it, most likely I'm going to have black that is now affixed to my finger. Looks like I use a Sharpie. When your customer can see that, watch you do it, and you show them that my finger's clean, I touch that, it turns black, that kind of thing has such an impact to the client that that's the rubber that's keeping the water from flooding their house. They go, yeah, I do need a toilet rebuild, or yeah, let's replace that guy. And 70%+ of the calls we were going on, our guys were just not even doing that. And you start having them take pictures of their finger and put them in service tight. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, you start selling toilet rebuilds and toilet replacements on 60 to 70% of your calls. And then your tickets just climb. And the truth is, that's what the client needed to see. They needed to know that was deteriorating. They needed to know that that was a fail point. And they needed to visualize it as well as hear it. We put together 7 never misses. We trained on them twice a week. all the time. So put together some never misses for your team. Put together those things that you know in your area, in your type of business that are almost always broke. You go on the call and you find it almost every time, mm-hmm. but your guys don't know that.
Right.
Arm them with those are the things you check. Hold accountability, make sure they're taking photos of that, putting them in the CRM, and train on it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hold accountability if you don't train. You can't hold accountability if they don't know. Train, make sure they know, make sure you train, and then hold accountability. And you're not going to be a $2 million shop. You're going to find probably over $1 million in revenue in the first year just doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's without and adding cost to the road. It's just shop. Becoming way more profitable, right?
Yeah. You're already there. You're not, no more truck rolls. You might have to add another truck because your guy's at the call longer, but you're rolling the less calls to get more money. This is just simple math for a business owner is how do I reduce my truck rolls and increase my revenue without taking advantage or ripping off any clients?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
To service the
people are scared
level,
of being scared of being a salesman. Well, you're not a salesman. You're just informing. You're just showing them. And that's all.
So this is, I love this because, so let's use that same exact example because what I've learned across time and I'm good to ask you for this, is it's one thing to do something in a house, but it's another thing to tell why you're doing the thing in the house with the homeowner. They need to know why it's important. So with that example, if you're the technician in the house, how would you set that up with the homeowner so they know what you're doing and you're not just, oh, look at this black crap on my finger?
Yeah. I mean, for us, the way we would teach this is we would have our guys, we try to get the customer to go through certain parts of a checkpoint with us. Like, hey, I just really need to check a few things that are often issues for our customers, and especially in this neighborhood with the age. And I want you to see it when I check it so you understand what's happening so you can make a sound decision on what we're talking about. I don't want to go out to the truck and write up estimates and then come back in and just try to show you numbers. I actually want to show you the issues because this might be something you feel comfortable tackling yourself. But it also might be something you're like, yikes, I need that taken care of. Is that okay? Would you be willing to work with me, walk with me? Those kinds of things. Those are the kind of conversations you need to have with your client on the front end so that they walk around with you and do this inspection. And then when you flush the toilet, you take the lid off, you flush the toilet, you're looking in there, the water's filling, there's not much in there. So you're not burying your hand, you know, you're not putting your arm this deep into the tank. You're really just getting a little bit and you touch in there and they're kind of like, what are you doing? And you pull it up and you're like, well, I'm checking the gaskets. I'm checking for how soft they are. I want to make sure they have the right dexterity so they're still going to hold. But in touching them, this is the gasket material now affixed to my finger that wasn't there. So that's deteriorated. That's a problem because that's holding back all of this water that will fill endlessly from your floor. I think we should talk about that. And then they go, oh, really? And then they look in there. It always looks bad, by the way. The visual of looking in there always just looks corroded and bad. But it doesn't matter if it looks bad. It's just, what is it actually doing? Is it hard and not flexible? Should we do something with it? Those kinds of things. So when you can get the customer invested with you to do an inspection of their home and you show them, you're arming them with information, they understand why. Again, you're not selling uphill. You're selling off of the value you're building.
I love it.
So much easier.
Oh, thanks so much for unpacking that. So for everybody listening, how can you apply this to your list of 5, 7, 10, however many never misses in your market, in your industry with whatever it is that you do, the things that you know are almost always in broken, failing, whatever. How can you have that type of conversation with people? So thanks for that, guys. Super powerful for everybody listening. So let's turn this corner. We've got to land this plane. I love this this conversation. And for everybody that's been paying attention, there's so many massive gold nuggets that we've covered. But tell everyone, A, how do they get a hold of you if they would like to have a conversation about So Good? And, you know, you guys, I know part of a little bit of your process, you would evaluate and show them places that, you know, if it is or isn't a good fit. And that's one thing that I appreciate about y'all so much is your truthfulness, especially from a digital perspective, of the truthfulness of we can help or we can't help you yet, or this is good or this isn't. So how do people get a hold of you? And leave us with a parting thought on, you know, what if you're leaving people with something today, what's the one idea that you want to leave them with?
I'm going to handle the contact part and I'll leave Kyle with the idea part because he is the idea guy.
I see his wheels
when
already turning.
Certain parts of this. Yeah. Well, when it comes to helping business owners, he's one of the best that in the business that I've ever worked with or been around.
Thank you.
So on the contact side, you could look us up, sogoodteam.com. You can shoot Kyle or I an email. I am paul@sogoodteam.com. You can hit Kyle up, kyle@sogoodteam.com. Look us up on the Facebook, Instagram. So I'm Paul Olson. He's Kyle Sattler on Facebook. We're probably on there more than anything else. I'm definitely, friends with Sam on there. So friends with Sam, then you can easily just connect, friends, follower, all that.
All of these, everybody listening, will be in the show notes as well. So if you're on the road right now, just
also,
when you in Drive Time University, when you get stopped, look in the show notes.
I do want to put a plug real quick for anybody on here that knows me, that's had me speak at an event, or I'm going to throw my hat out there for Sam. Sam's a great speaker. I've heard him speak before. He does know how to connect to the room and bring a ton of value to the stage. So if you're an event that I've spoken at or that we know each other, I'm just going to validate that for him right here. That great opportunity if he's willing to get on your stage. But I'm going to pass this to Kyle now.
Yeah. So if I'm leaving a lasting nugget or one more thing, once you've gotten past the spot where you have somebody else who's doing the same job as you in your business, they need to know how you do what you do. They need to be able to know what that process looks like. One of the biggest things that we show our team is how we do what we did. But every month we do a motivational moment. And the first one I always do is I run back for the movie The Founder. If you've never seen it, it's a great movie, where the McDonald's brothers are going through building out their process and running it with their team and how they made themselves super efficient. Ultimately, if you're just giving somebody a truck, giving somebody some tools, telling them go do stuff, eventually they'll get where they need to be, but they're going to be grizzled like Paul. You need someone that you can, one, train, but two, that you can train in your way, because what you do is special, even if you don't think it is. It is special in some way, shape, or form if you're doing it successfully for yourself or you can hire another person. So stay focused, build out processes that you can then train people on. It's the biggest shift you're going to make from being a solopreneur to being an entrepreneur.
Love it. That's super valuable. Guys, it's been awesome having you on today. I appreciate you making the time to appear on the Close It Now podcast. And I know that we're going to have plenty more conversations in the future. For everybody listening, couple super quick announcements. A lot of what we're talking about is, that's the huge thing that's going on right now. One is it's springtime, so the date of recording is Wednesday, April 8th. This episode will go live Friday, April 10th. And so I'm prioritizing this one ahead of some others I've recorded because I want all of you to hear this as soon as you can before your season really kicks off this year. And the second piece to that is two things. One, I've got some spring training promotion going on. I'm booking my on-site trainings for the year. So if you would like me to come to your location, walk through train your team, go on ride-alongs, actually get dirty in the field and show them how things, just like the conversation Paul was having with his example, I can show your team instantly how to turn their numbers around immediately. If they're already doing great, they'll do better. If they're doing poor, they'll do better. There's never a time when you don't get a return on investment when you invest in training your people, because it will always come back multiplied to you. So we're booking the calendar for on-site visits this year. And the second piece is the biggest thing that's going right now with Close It Now is looking at your whole company to help you find, in almost every case, we can find the revenue. You've already got the revenue to grow. You just don't know where it's at in your business. It's getting lost in your P&L. And when I say that, don't let the words EBITDA and P&L scare you. It's very simple. People, a lot of times when you talk to gurus and things, they use those words intentionally and only those words to gatekeep the information from you. And that's not how we function. We want you to be able to understand that so you can look at your P&L and go, oh my gosh, this is misclassified. And holy crap, there's $200,000 here that should have gone into my pocket that didn't. How do we reclaim that? And then we go to work on it. We get it back for you. And then we step in and show you how to use that revenue, redirect it into avenues like So Good and grow your company. But not just grow it for the sake of having a bigger company with more trucks, doing it in a way where more money makes it to your pocket and more money makes it into your operating capital, because profit is everything. It doesn't matter how much you sell, it's how much do you keep. And so business is a simple formula. Money in plus money out equals something. Is it a loss? Is it a break even? Or is it a plus? And when you start to understand the concept simply, everything else builds from there. So you'll catch me in the show notes. Of course, you can email me, sam@closeitnow.net. Go to closeitnow.net and fill out the form. I'll get right back to you. Or again, I have a really cool Facebook group. Join the Facebook group. I do free training, Coffee Talk Friday, where we cover topics like this and I just chop it up and answer your questions for the week. So go join the Facebook group. Get in touch with Kyle and Paul at so good at sogoodteam.com. And until next time, everybody, you go be someone worth buying from.
You've been listening to the Close It Now podcast. Our passion is to dive headfirst into the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. And at the same time, covering fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at closeitnow.net. Find us on Instagram at The Real Close It Now and on Facebook at Close It Now. See you next time.